Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Thank you so much for being with us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Have a very important message for you, one straight from the Father, that He wishes us to do before it's too late. We call this, Do Not Be Late to Pray for the Church's Escape. And this first revelation was given to Eve Brast on 3:3:18, and that's very important. Please listen intently. I dreamed this morning that David's / my father's house was high up on the edge of a mountain lake. Let me just make a note here. Just as with David, the Davids are heads of Father's house on earth. That's why it was given to her in this way. He had a wooden boat with oars tied to a small wooden dock on his lakefront property. Leon and I were standing on the dock, and he was preparing the boat to take me fishing and teach me how to fish. Well, Leon is somewhat of an evangelist, so that's what we took him as here. The bride will receive, I believe, an evangelistic anointing very quickly. It was just starting to warm up, and most of the ice on the lake had melted, but there were still broken up chunks floating on the surface of the lake. I would say this means spring approaches. So that kind of puts us close to this territory. Leon got a fishing pole and tied a large hook on the end of the line, and then he put a large minnow on the hook. It looked like a small rainbow trout on its scales. Well, that's interesting. What is it that will draw the church and save their lives from these things to come? As the rainbow represents escape from worldwide destruction, so rainbow trout represents grace to escape the curse of death. And in this case, also, this is by knowledge of the coat of many colors that it has on, this minnow, right? Just as Joseph, who escaped death. Joseph had a coat of many colors, and he escaped death. Even his father thought he was dead, but he wasn't. And Jesus is the light, and the colors are the attributes of the light. If you take a prism and you catch the light coming through it, you see those colors. And they're mentioned in 2 Peter 1, 2 on down. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We need grace and we need peace in the midst of trouble, because without peace you don't have faith, right? Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So we have to get this knowledge out there so that we receive all things that pertain unto life and godliness, whereby he's granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. The people of God must escape. We are to pray for them to escape. And notice what is about to be taught will cause the church to escape the corrupt world and its curse of death. Verse 5, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. Well, let me say this. You can't add anything on your part if you don't have faith. Everything comes out of faith. See? And there's no comma before diligence. The comma is after faith. Notice, all the seven attributes of Christ, who is the light, are provided in faith. And there was no comma after diligence in the Greek. These are the seven refractions of light through a prism. So in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. That's what it says in the original, by the way. Some of your Bibles don't say that, but that's what it says. And in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not to be idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come back to knowledge. Notice these attributes are gained by the knowledge of Christ. The thing that's going to be valuable to many Christians in the days ahead, which wasn't in the past, is going to be the true knowledge of God that brings these things. And that bait must be put out there so that God's people take it and escape what's coming. He handed me the pole and told me to cast it as far out as I could. In other words, reach as many with the good news as possible. So I did, and it landed way over near the other side of the lake, right next to some chunks of ice floating on the surface. My vision became telescopic as I looked in that direction, and I could see that my hook had gotten snagged on a small piece of ice. Then I saw a small black snake with cobalt blue stripes, wrapping itself and the piece of ice and opening its mouth to try and swallow my bait. Well, Satan wants to stop this grace for the church. There were a group of about 15 factious people from the past standing on the lakeshore shouting at me that an eel was trying to swallow my bait. Well, they're always blaming the eel. In other words, the eels. But we're offering the bait. We are offering the bait. Okay. She said, I said, it's not an eel, it's a snake. Can't you see? It doesn't even look like an eel. Yeah, the eel is not a snake. Snakes don't look like eels. And eels don't look anything like snakes, she said. And well, it is these factious snakes, as John called them in his day, that are falsely accusing the Davids, so that the church is warned away from the bait that would save them from destruction. And now, of course, these people have been from the beginning guilty of their blood, of those that they've scared away from the bait. Right? They kept insisting it was an eel, to the point that I was annoyed with their ignorance. So I just quit arguing with them because it was going nowhere. Well, that's true. It's a waste of time to argue with demons. I managed to get my hook unstuck from the ice before the snake could steal my bait, and I reeled it back in. I hadn't caught anything on my first try, and Leon said that I'd done well to outmaneuver the snake. So then he rows us back to shore because it was getting late. Now that's a common phrase in the rest of the dream, because it was getting late. It's getting late to save many in the church, and many wicked out there are resisting the truth and warning people away from the truth with their lies, just like what's happening in the government. I walked up to my father's/David's house and went inside. And Eve here represents the bride of the last Adam, just as she was the bride of the first Adam, right? And the last Adam is Jesus Christ. I tried to be quiet as I walked past the entryway into the living room for fear I would be in trouble for being late. I saw David, very tall, sitting on his couch with the blue and white light of a TV screen reflecting onto him. I knew he was watching the news and keeping up with world events. Well, Webster's says of television, it is an electronic system of transmitting transient images of fixed or moving objects together with sound over a wire or through space by apparatus that converts light and sound into electrical waves and reconverts them into visible light rays and audible sound. Well, I believe television here represents discernment through vision of things happening around the world. In this case, so that things can be changed according to Jesus' authority given to us. We do find out things. Many people send us things. The Lord sends us things. The Lord sends us dreams and visions. And these visions tell us what to pray about. And we pray about them and we see success. And everybody else out there that does that's going to see that too. So it reminds me of Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the Lord has been doing that. So what the Davids see the Father do, they do. Jesus, in the body of the Son of David, said in John 5:19, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. And I want to say that this is not just Jesus, but all sons of God who walk in his steps are the same. They are the same. By the way, I don't own a natural TV, but we have been changing things around the world through prayer and faith as we know what's going on, right? As the Lord reveals to us one way or the other what's going on. There was a highly polished wooden staircase near the entryway to the living room, and I tried to scurry up the stairs to my room, but there was a very wide roll of butcher paper covering the stairs all the way to the top. And I slipped and slid on it the whole way up, bruising my shins and elbows all along the way. I think this is the crucified way to the higher floors in the Father's house, which many won't dare touch. I finally made my way down the narrow hallway. It's a narrow hallway, right? Narrow road. To a bedroom on the right that I shared with my little sister. Little sister is very, very important here. The bride spoke of saving her little sister. Song of Solomon 8:8. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. In other words, she can't feed the milk of the word to those who are younger, right? What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, meaning separated or sanctified, we will build upon her a turret of silver. And if she be a door, which is a hole in a wall, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. So you want to close the holes in the wall, right? And so this is representing shutting out the enemies and shelter, being sheltered by eternal life. Cedar, right? So when I got to the doorway, it was open, and I saw my Father, who is, of course, our Heavenly Father, who was also very tall and a big, burly man in overalls with a long white beard. He was angry that someone had busted one of the windows to our room and was intently working on repairing it. Well, you know who the window is, right? That's the wicked leadership who tried to come up another way than the crucified way that the bride did. John 10:1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Amen. And he did, Jesus did. He led his sheep out of that corrupt sheepfold. And he's still doing it today. Eve said, "I only saw his back." Well, that, of course, reminds you of Exodus 33:23. "And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen." And we know that's speaking of the Father. "I knew I was late, and that he had better catch me praying." She wanted him to see her praying. "So I hurried just as quickly as I could over to my little sister's white crib and knelt down immediately and began praying for my little sister." And this is what the Lord is telling us to do. Don't be late to pray for the church. Something is coming. Don't be late. The Father will be angry. Judgment approaches fast, and they're ignorant of the way of escape. Esther wasn't late to intercede to the king for them. Eve is the bride, and her little sister is the church. This is true in Song of Solomon and Esther. The little sister, in the end of Song of Solomon, is trained by the bride. Also in Psalm 45, the virgins follow the bride into the king's house. Psalm 45:13 says, "The king's daughter within the palace," that's of course the bride, "is all glorious." So, oh gosh, she's ready. She's prepared. You know, she's beautiful. "Her clothing is inwrought with gold. She shall be led unto the king in broidered work." The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. "With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led." They're like the little sister, right? "They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children." This is spoken to the bride. Instead of the fathers of the bride, they are going to be the fathers of these children. They're going to mature these children. "Whom thou shalt make princes in all of the earth." Notice that it is the bride who, through prayer and teaching and bringing little sister into the king's house, right? And this dream was given at the end of Purim, this dream of Eve's, at the end of Purim, as a sign. The bride, like Esther, goes to the king interceding for the people of God. And Esther, it was those who were circumcised of flesh. And with spiritual Jews now, it's those who are circumcised in heart, which, by the way, is a minority of what we loosely call the church, because not everybody in the church is the church, because they're not coming out. The church is the called out ones, right? And this to save them from Haman, which we believe is the deep state, and their plan to destroy Christians in America and turn this land over to their Islamic troops. All right. So I think you're following me so far. Hope so anyway. And this is what he said. She was so cute, talking about her little sister, between 2 and 3 years old, and looked just like my mother when she was little. Yep, mother church, you know, looked like that, innocent when she was little. But as time went by, mother church got more and more corrupt. She had olive skin and big brown eyes and a beautiful smile. Her hair was a soft brown and long, and pulled up in pigtails on both sides of her head that hung down past her shoulders in loose ringlets. Well, just notice at this description, the father and the bride view the true church with love, even as his child in their ignorance, you know. It's your child, right? You're very forgiving towards your child. You love your child. You know, they can be very foolish and very ignorant, which they normally are when they're that age. And yet you love your child. We'll say, so this is where the father is. He wants that child to be protected. He wants that child to grow up. They're in ignorance. Ignorance is not a sin, unless it's willful ignorance. She was barefoot and wearing a blue cotton top with ruffled sleeves with little pink flowers printed all over it. And she had blue jean overall shorts on over that. And she was squealing with excitement when she saw me enter the room and was jumping up and down on her crib mattress, hanging on to the side rail. Mm-hmm. Sounds a little bit like the description that they had of the bride. Song of Solomon 6 and 9. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. That's the bride. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? So the little sister was very impressed with what she saw in the bride. And they even say, verse 13, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. They were excited to look upon the bride, right? Why will you look upon the Shulamite, that is the perfect one, as upon the dance of Mahanaim? She had awakened from her nap and was ready to get out of the crib and tag along with me. And by the way, we just read that the true church will follow the bride. That's their job, to take care of little sister. So what we must do is not anger our father by not praying for little sister, because judgment is coming and they should escape. But I knew our father wanted me to intercede for her first. Don't get distracted, folks. The Lord wants this done now. This is coming now. Because she was really rambunctious and wild. Yeah. Yep, that's the church. The church is born in the Adamic nature of rebellion and needs our intercession and training. I loved her so much, I knew our father did also. Isn't that cruel? She just needed to learn some discipline. Yes, they need to know the principles of finding truth and what truth will do for them, right? And I believe she will. Okay, find that truth and find that way. My father fixed the window, in other words, to keep the false shepherds out, and was heading out of the door when he stopped in his tracks. I looked back at him as I was down on my knees near my little sister's crib. And I saw the backside of him there. Once again, you only get to look at the backside. As he turned to come back into the room, I quickly turned my face away and continued praying. I knew I couldn't look into his face. I could feel his heavy footsteps as he approached me, and I became completely naked before him. He stood there before me for a moment, examining me to the depths of my being, and asked me a rhetorical question. He asked, "Eve, what are you doing?" I knew he was inquiring as to why I was late. I answered, "Praying for my little sister, Father." He was pleased with this and told me to keep up the good work, but do not be late next time. Meaning you're supposed to be doing this constantly until something changes here. Well, Father has said to not be late interceding for little sister because judgment is close and we don't want their blood on our hands. And we love little sister just like Father does. I said, "Yes, sir," with a healthy fear having been instilled into me. Do you have that healthy fear? Well, notice here that the bride are the ones who have the fear of God to pray for her little sister. Then he went to work on another part of the house, and then I woke up. I asked Father for a word for this dream, and my finger was on, "For which things' sake," in Colossians 3 and 6, in context 1 through 17. "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth." In other words, don't get distracted by the world. The things that you many times lust after are just not going to be there tomorrow. It means nothing. We're talking about eternal life for God's people. He's holding us responsible to pray for little sister. "For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested," meaning in us, shine forth from, right? "Then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory." So as God shines out of you, that's his glory. That's him in you, right? "Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness." There are people going after the world, loving the world, things of the world, distracting themselves, which is idolatry, and of course it is, you know. "For which thing's sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience." So don't get distracted and become disobedient, or you will also partake of the judgment because you're not in the holy bride. Verse 7, "Wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things." Some people want to go back. They want to go back to the Egypt. They want to go back to the flesh pots. They're distracted. "But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him." Well, the bride and then the little sister must be crucified and clothed with the attributes of Christ. Verse 11. "Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all." This is the end of all of this. Christ is all and he's in all. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Let's direct this towards the church, right? Forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. So forgive them too. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father gave us a prophecy that we were going to fast for 7 days, and from food and water, and it was kind of tough. And he said at the end of that, we were all going to dance to him. And we did too. People that never dance were dancing. let's see. So I'm going to go from there to what is coming and how to pray. Okay? It appears that the firstborn of Egypt have already been killed. The death angel of Satan has taken down the important people throughout the kingdom of Egypt who wanted to oppress and make slaves of God's people. They died to anything good or godly when the deep state and shadow government went down by Satanism, sacrificing the children. They became dead. Their mainstream media prophets sent out spirits by slander, faction, and witchcraft over the waves, which many on the left received and died. That's how you receive faction and witchcraft, just listening to it. It just enters into you. You know, of course, the wise people don't do that. That's why they have a Passover. And you know, at Passover, the true Christians escaped all of this. So now comes the Red Sea, the fulfillment, the end game of the Red Sea, where exactly what happened at Purim will come about. Which is what? A switch in who is to die. The semi-good guys, I call them. I mean, compared with the deep state, these are the good guys, okay? So I call them the semi-good guys. Semi-good guys are now bringing Hillary and Obama into the noose for trying to overthrow the democratic process. They're traitors. And they've been well caught. And all ducks are being put in a row to take them down. And this also means that the elite will be brought to light, because these people aren't going to be quiet unless the elite kill these people before they get a chance to get in front of the courts. That happens too, even to people like Obama and Hillary. So they must stop this. If they have to kill millions, and a prophet friend of mine told me many years ago that he saw 180 million Americans die. So I believe they're prepared shortly to loose plagues on America, pointed mostly at the conservative Christians, just as it was at Purim. But just as then, God will turn it around for the true Christians as we pray. We have to pray. We have to go to the Lord by faith, just like Esther did, right? We were just ordered to fast from food and water for 7 days, and the last of which was reserved for prayer for the church, the little sister, right? And then, of course, you've had this dream, too. And I believe the deep state is planning to launch a 9-1-1 attack by the hand of ISIS in the United States. and I believe it will be a plague, and that by the bride's intercession to the king, as it was at Purim, God will use it to destroy the wicked instead. Even the wicked among the church, because there's a lot of people in there claim to be Christian, and they are not. They aren't touching God's word with a 10-foot pole. And there's leaders that came through the window that God's going to take down. A plague is coming by the hand of deep state through their ISIS troops. Also, even after I wrote this, I ran across this article here, All News Pipeline, concerning this very thing, the globalists and their high treason. And also, deep state is using American oil field helicopters to rescue ISIS leadership to bring the war to America. And what does it mean, as an article on that? I'll put both of those links here for you to read. It's very interesting. From what we are seeing, destruction is coming on the wicked, both apostates and Babylon. We are fasting to be sanctified, so we have authority for Passover / Purim. And I ask you all to pray for the church who is in darkness concerning this. I woke up during this fast, and I found that I'd left my phone in my top pocket, so I pulled it out to put it on the charger. And then I looked at my phone, and it was 3:33. And immediately this came to mind, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult which thou knowest not. So I prayed concerning great and difficult things that I don't know of. And I've been doing a little bit of that ever since. And Sue Gilbert sent this to me. Blessings, brother. This morning between 7 and 7:14 a.m., I heard this in my mind at least three times. Something strange and different is going to happen to you. Something you never experienced before. Is this to some or to all? She asks. And it's coming soon. But do not fear it. Do not be afraid. It is my blessing to you. What does that sound like? Something that looks fearful, you know, like at Purim, but turned around. It is my blessing to you. I will confirm this. I think it may relate with the fast, or my guess is also Purim, you know. An incentive to press in. I don't know. I give it to you to judge, to discern. Grace and peace. Have a fruitful day with the Lord. So let me say that we have received words that Father is sending gifts to the bride. Wonderful revelations about wonderful gifts coming to the bride. And in fact, we received a pretty nice one yesterday, but I can't tell you about that one yet. I asked about this 9-1-1 attack and got where Jehu, the reformer, killed off the evil leadership of Israel and Judah. Hey, that's what we've spoken about, right? Yeah. 2 Chronicles 22:7. Now, the destruction of Ahaziah was of God, in that he went unto Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom God had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Big mistake. And it came to pass, when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, that he found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah ministering to Ahaziah, and slew them. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him. Now he was hiding in Samaria. And they brought him to Jehu and slew him. and they buried him. For they said, He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all of his heart. And the house of Ahaziah had no power to hold the kingdom. Of course, he was Ahab, except in Judah. Jehu was taking out the false leadership of both Samaria and Judah. Praise God. And I believe the man-child's doing that now, praying down the wicked leadership who have held God's people in bondage. And these people are after the seed of Ahab, spiritually speaking. I believe that's happening. And God will use whatever he has to use to fulfill this. And I believe that this case is this something special, this something that looks fearful. Not to fear. Not to fear. Because the Lord is going to use it. It's been spoken. The judgment of the wicked who are plundering God's people will be taken down for their sake, for the people's sake. Then in the following verses, Athaliah, after she saw that her son was dead, killed the royal seed, but missed the most important one, the man-child, who came to reign as that harlot was killed. So all the evil leadership was destroyed. Does that sound like what we've been talking about? And the man-child who escaped was able to reign with them gone. You know, we've said this, that something has to happen before so that the people will follow the man-child into the wilderness. And that the deep state would use a plague, which the man, child, and bride will turn against them in a Purim kind of deal. It's the only way the people would follow the man, child, into the wilderness. I can imagine that the deep state, through ISIS, would also want these dead. They want to kill the leadership of Christianity. So, are they bringing ISIS in here to make hits in the midst of a plague? Could be. Could be they'll try to kill the man-child too and fail. And then Missy sent this. David, I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random about the deep state planning a 911 plague attack. Underlined is where I landed. Isaiah 10:24. Through 27. Okay. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, that's the bride, according to John, be not afraid of the Assyrian, that's the beast, though he smite thee with the rod, sounds like what's coming, and lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt, for yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished. So he'll be through taking out the people that are corrupt in the body of Christ. And mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. So then I'm going to turn it around, right, and take out the wicked. And the Lord of hosts will stir up against him a scourge, as in the land of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And his rod will be over the sea, and he will lift it up after the manner of Egypt. What, the Passover? Yeah. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall depart from off thy shoulders. Have you ever thought it was going to happen? This thing's been dragging on. Deep state and their highly stupid leaders and all the foolishness that they put out there, and anybody that got a brain left knows it. But you just get burdened with it, right? We've been praying and fighting with it and shaking it down, binding it loose and whatever, taking care of things here. But it's going to depart from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of the fatness, by reason of the anointing. I looked up to see the details of the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb, Judges 7:22, and they blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the host. And the host fled as far as Beth Shittah, towards Zererah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah, by Tabith. Oh, sent their sword against each other. You suppose this means they're going to shoot themselves in the foot? Yeah, I believe so. So that fits it pretty good too, doesn't it? Assyria represents the deep state, she says. Yep, we can see that. The Lord is going to turn the deep state's sword or plague against them. He's going to return recompense on their own heads. If we are sanctified and holy, we will have a Passover / Purim. Yeah. Yeah, those that lay a trap or a snare fall into it themselves, the Bible says. And that's what this is all about. And I believe this is an answer to your question. I believe the Lord is saying that this is the deep state's plan. Leon sent this too. On Tuesday, I got Revelation 18, 1 through 5, which is the prelude to Babylon's destruction. Of course, we know that was by the hand of Cyrus, right? Of course, the following verses, 6 through 10, describe that destruction. And verse 8 speaks of her plague, too. And of course, we have been calling Babylon the deep state, who is destroyed by Cyrus Trump. And we've said all this in the series we called God Warns of Coming Pestilence. But this is a real strong confirmation. And then Amber got this. I read your message and began to pray in the Spirit for the things you mentioned, and I don't remember what I was thinking about, just mostly praying in tongues. I think I heard softly in the Spirit something like, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto me, from Joel 2 and 13. I had to look it up. And this also, this context she's talking about, is another turnaround on the wicked, like Purim. And here's the context, Joel 2 and 12. Yet even now, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, which we've done, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them, that the deep state should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain, and new wine and oil. There's a gift for the bride, right? And you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. I will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea, its hinder part into the western sea, and its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up because it hath done great things. She said, perhaps he is saying that if we truly cry to him, he might repent of the plague. Yeah, on us. And bless us. Yes, those who are counted worthy will have a Passover of destruction. They will be in the ark. They will be in the secret place of the Most High. And this enforces the sternness the Lord spoke with in the fast dream to do what he was asking. And that is pray for the church. Pray, intercede. And here to seek the God of Israel with all their heart and soul or be put to death, because the deep state army is going to try to kill Christians, just like in this text, just like they did in Los Angeles at the concert. And by the way, ISIS was involved in that. There were a group of ISIS fighters shooting in that also. That was reported. This text below from Debbie enforces this sternness that the Lord spoke with in the fast prophecy to do what he was asking. And here, to seek the God of Israel with all their heart and soul, or to be put to death, because the deep state army is going to try to kill God's people, just like in this text, just like they did in Los Angeles at the concert. That was just a practice run. And Debbie Finsky sent this. I feel I received something from the Lord yesterday, very shortly before I heard from Pam about not making soup and possibly meetings being canceled, which we did for the fast. Then after your broadcast that we were listening to with Matt and Sue and at Don and Merlene's, Don read the email about the fast to us. And before we listened to the broadcast, I shared with them what I believed I received from the Lord earlier. And after hearing all about the fast, I did think what I received related, until after reading this email about the earthquake and the banks collapsing. So I just felt to run it through you, of course, and Denny said yes to that. So I was reading in 2 Chronicles 14 and 15. Both chapters, 14 and 15, about King Asa crying to the Lord for help against the Ethiopian army that came against Judah. And God gave Asa the victory. So Asa called all the people to gather at Jerusalem and offer sacrifices and enter into a covenant with the Lord that all should all seek the God of Israel with their heart and soul or be put to death. They were all rejoicing with trumpets and horns about the covenant they made with God. And my reading stopped at the end of chapter 15. And right after I stopped reading, I felt this heaviness descend on me and a strong feeling of distress. And I heard a time of distress. And as I had the strong impression and feeling of people in distress, my eyes were opened and I could see in the spirit indistinct faces with mouths wide open in shock and horror. And the thought came this time, people in distress, quote unquote. I couldn't figure out why I was getting something like this right after reading about this victory and rejoicing over the covenant and the fact that God gave them peace for another 20 years. And now, after this latest email, I see how it does relate. Not obeying to fast, seeking the Lord with all of your heart and soul, and praying the way we are instructed to pray, will bring death, separation from the bride, and the high calling of God. And by not abiding, those who do not will not receive blessings from God or be protected by God under his Psalm 91 Passover. Even if just a strong confirmation for just myself and Denny, this fast is of God and to be taken seriously, I share it if possibly it is for all. Okay, true. Got a wonderful dream here about the coming man-child. I'll have to jump on down. This is from Barbara Arroyo. This below is from my daughter Angela. She's not due until the second week of April, but looks like she could pop any minute. And when I read it, I immediately thought of the man-child. Could this be a sign of the man-child coming? This is awesome. And she used the word light, and I'm so excited for both. The daughter said, "Oh, Mom, I had the craziest, most real dream last night. In my dream, I was laying in bed, and Noah was still in my belly, but he was able to poke his hand to my skin, and it was distinctly seen through my skin. He had his fingers spread apart, and so I put my index finger up against his palm, and he grabbed it and somehow kissed it. Then somehow we were able to talk. Yes, Noah, a baby in the womb, told me he would be out to let me hold him on March the 17th. You were there with me because when he said that date, I whipped my head over and looked at you with wide eyes. Because of that one prediction, someone left and joked and said, hope you won't be an 8-ounce baby. And he said, no, Mommy, 8 pounds, 2 ounces. And then it was March 17th. And I was holding him, I could see him. He was like a ball of light in my arms. But I was so happy to be holding him. I woke up and looked in the crib thinking he was asleep, and it took me 5 minutes to realize it was a dream. Cool. 17, by the way, is the number of preservation through danger in the Bible. Of course, the man-child is being preserved through danger to set the people free. Another woman later saw them and said, asked about her daughter, when her son was going to be born. She said April the 12th. And she goes, no, St. Patty's Day, baby, March 17th. So weird. So weird. And my eyes got all wide, and I looked at Drea, and she was looking at me with the same look on her face, because I had told her the dream, and it was just strange. Well, amen. Well, we've run out of time. God be with you. Okay, good night. Bye-bye.